Welcome to room 4216. I'm so glad you've come.
Good morning, Cecilia.
Good morning, Pastor Dave.
How are you doing today?
I am as peppy as I can be.
Hey! Now, as I recall, and this is more for the listener's sake, you have two cats.
I do.
What are their names?
Their names are Jack. He's a black cat.
A black cat.
Mm-hmm. And Meldo. He's a Seal Point ragdoll.
A ragdoll cat. Now, what's so unique about a ragdoll cat?
A ragdoll is kind of a floppy cat. You pick them up and they just sort of flop in your arms. Meldo has a habit of not moving. If I need him to move off a chair, I can do just about anything to that chair, and he won't move.
He wants you to play, huh?
Well, no, he wants to just stay right where he's at.
Does he do anything else that's kind of odd or unique?
Well, let's see. He loves these plastic crinkle balls that you can get at a pet store or wherever. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I throw one of those out, and he's after it like a flash.
Huh. What does he do when he gets it then?
He chases it. He runs around the house chasing it. And then he gets Jack involved in it, and I swear they play kitty soccer sometimes.
And listeners, if you haven't noticed and caught the irony of it all, as you were talking about Meldo and the cat and chasing, did you hear what my bird was doing?
Your bird was...
Going berserk. No, yeah. No.
Yeah.
He doesn't like this talk about cats. So maybe we should move on to the Bible study, huh?
That's a good idea.
Thanks. If you may recall, we've been looking through the chapters following the giving of the Ten Commandments, the Ten Statements, telling people who they are and what they are in front of God, were the Ten Commandments. But now we're looking at these three chapters, which kind of break down more specific laws, and we had looked at seven categories. And we had, in the past two episodes, we had looked at which ones, Cecilia?
We have looked at laws on slavery, laws on homicide, laws on bodily injury.
Sounds like they were humans and people struggling with problems back then, too.
Mm-hmm. And laws on property damage.
Okay, so that leaves us with, I think, three left, and what are they?
Laws on society, laws on justice and neighborliness, and laws on sacred seasons.
So the first one is society. And how would you define society?
Society is usually a large group of people who have to live and work together.
Okay. And that's what we're going to be looking at in Exodus 22, verses 16 through 31. Cecilia, do you remember when you went away to college?
Yes.
Did you feel footloose, fancy free, like parents aren't around? Whoop, whoop, I'm going to do what I want.
Yeah, I did. Especially when I went on internship.
Oh, and I won't go any further than that, but it's sometimes tempting just to live on the wild edge of things.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how the people were here. They just came out of slavery, as mentioned, and so they had freedom, and they could do what they want, and oh my gosh. But God is saying, you have freedom, but don't use your freedom for an occasion to the flesh. By the way, that's Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Verse 1. I'm sorry, verse 1. And the first one he gives here as a law is if a man seduces a woman, he should marry her. At least pay the dowry and minimally and marry her. Because you just can't have sex in discriminately and do what you want.
Mm-hmm.
God goes on with other laws immediately then after that one. It seems like because of Egypt, they were people practicing all sorts of divination, witchcraft, and things. And God said, no, none of that. You'll be put to death if anyone's found. And then also, if you're going to try to have sex with an animal, no, I'm going to put you to death. There's this constant theme of God is doing some absolutes here, and some of them are severe enough that he's going to say death.
Mm-hmm. But not all of them. Well, let's look at verse 22 and following.
Okay.
Do not take advantage of a widow or an orphan. If you do, and they cry out to me, I will certainly hear their cry. My anger will be aroused, and I will kill you by the sword.
God is really speaking up for those who are disadvantaged.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Your wives will become widows.
You don't have to go on necessarily, Cecilia.
Oh, yes, I do. There's some irony here.
Oh, okay.
Your wives will become widows, and your children fatherless.
Ooh. So if you take advantage of widows and orphans, your wife's going to be a widow, and your children will be orphaned. Ooh, mm-hmm. There is irony there. God is very serious. You know, he's actually helping to shape who humanity is, that we have a compassionate side. And he's going to be even angry if we don't do it. God goes on with some more specifics, especially about those who are in need. In fact, he identifies it. If you lend money to someone in need, don't charge interest. I mean, if someone's dirt poor, charge them interest. They don't have it to pay. And the next one is, if he lends you his cloak as a promise, like a promissory note, give it back to him at nighttime. Otherwise, he'll be cold. Literally, their cloaks were a big robe that they'd wrap around their shoulders to their feet, and it would keep them warm during the night. And if they didn't have it, they'd be shivering cold.
God is this way, and he wants his people to be this way. As it says in Exodus chapter 22, verse 27. If he cries out to me, I will hear him, for I am compassionate.
The needy cry out, I will hear him because I'm compassionate. God wants us to be compassionate for those in need as well. Boy, and isn't that really a whole description of what God is? We are in need. Spiritually, we were in need.
Mm-hmm.
We were sinful. And there's, in the New Testament, descriptions of filthy rags that we were dressed in. That's mm-hmm. our sins. But what does he do? He puts on a robe around us to keep us warm and comfortable.
I find it interesting that in some of the laws that we were talking about last week,
mm-hmm.
God was a fearful God. And mm-hmm. we even talked about, but aren't we supposed to love God? And you said that back then, God was sort of establishing his authority.
That's
here,
true.
He's establishing his compassion.
Our God is both, and we can see him as both. Yeah. We now move to the next grouping of laws that God is speaking to help make his people a new people. These are about being neighborly as well as justice, meaning in the court of law and how one should obey.
Yeah, and I read this over just before we started this segment, And it talks about lawsuits and not showing favoritism. And so, can't we just summarize this and move on with it?
No, I don't think so. And you'll see why in a moment. I've got a few thoughts on these.
Okay. Do not spread false reports. Do not help a wicked man by being a malicious witness. Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong.
That reminds me of high school. How many times did you follow the crowd just because you were in the group and do things that, well, maybe I shouldn't go along with that, but yet we tend to do that.
Yes, we do.
It's easy to be with a crowd. Yeah.
When you give testimony in a lawsuit, do not pervert justice by siding with the crowd. And do not show favoritism to a poor man in his lawsuit. Now, usually, it's don't show favoritism to the rich.
Right. In fact, when we studied James, it was in chapter 2, don't show favoritism to the rich. But here, don't show favoritism to the poor. Interesting.
If you come across your neighbor's ox or donkey wandering off, be sure to take it back to him.
Now, we didn't mention it in the beginning, but as I recall, your one cat, Meldo, tends to slip between your legs and out the door of the apartment?
Ugh, drives me crazy.
And he runs all over the apartment building?
Meowing like
And
crazy.
How do you get him back?
Often it's someone who brings him back.
Yeah. And you, I don't know if that person hates you, but they might be allergic to cats or they might not like cats, but yet they're being kind and doing just like this law says and bringing them back.
Hadn't thought of it that way.
Mm-hmm.
If you see the donkey of someone who hates you fallen down under its load...
He's finally going to get it.
Yeah. Do not leave it there. Be sure you help him with it.
Help your neighbor.
Well,
help
one thing I would
enemy.
Say first is the neighbor that hates you and the donkey's got this huge load on his back. Why did the neighbor put so much on the donkey that it fell in the first place? So why should I help?
Regardless, God is saying be neighborly. Help.
True. Do not deny justice to your poor people in their lawsuits. Ah, there we've got the balance to the
balance to the other one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Have nothing to do with a false charge.
Okay, here now, the with this verse and the following, think about Jesus and what he had to go through the night on which he was betrayed. Read that verse again and think about Jesus for the next couple lines.
Have nothing to do with a false charge, and do not put an innocent or honest person to death, for I will not acquit the guilty.
Isn't it interesting? Acquit, set free the guilty. And that's exactly what happened. Jesus was given false charges, an honest man was killed. But who actually incited the crowd, incited all those people? But the devil. He is the guilty one. And he was nailed along with our sins to the cross.
Jesus was nailed.
Yeah.
Along with our sins.
Yeah. And so God is using these very words for us. Even though we are guilty, he's going to acquit us because of what Jesus did, who shouldn't have had that. And then we move into the last set of laws in this section of Exodus that God is giving to help define his people more. And these are about the ceremonial laws, verses 10 through 19, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm. For 6 years, you are to sow your fields and harvest the crops. But during the 7th year, let the land lie unplowed and unsowed. You do know why this is, don't you?
I'm not sure. Why, Cecilia?
It's because the land needs rest, too. Getting crops takes minerals and such out of the soil.
And if you do the same thing year after year, it's going to make it...
it's going to deplete the minerals in the soil.
And that is why we do crop rotation now to replenish. This section goes on about the Sabbath and the seventh year some more. And then it goes on to other festivals that...
Of the harvest.
Of the harvest.
And of the gathering of the fruits of the harvest.
And then the third one is the Passover, that they're supposed to honor these three. And you made a comment before we started this section, Cecilia.
I did?
Yeah, you did. That maybe...
Maybe there are things that just don't apply to us today.
Yeah, that might be the case here. I'm not fully sure. There is one thing we can glean out of this. Oh, excuse the pun there. Did you catch it?
Yes, I got it.
Okay. In case you listeners don't know, gleaning is how you harvest. I think it's wheat. Anyway, there needs to be a time of rest. And I did read in one commentary that it spoke about how the seventh day is a day of rest, and that's rest for the body. Worship is rest for the soul. And I think that is something we can take away from this segment, is that we maybe don't have to obey specific laws of this and that, but we do need to take time for God. So we can have rest for the soul. Jesus said it so very well in Matthew 11:28-29. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is gentle and easy. His yoke, of course, is just believing. It's not what we do, but trusting in him, looking to him, at all times. That's a rest we all take advantage of.
In the previous part of this chapter, God talks to the Israelites about what they must do and must not do in order to be his people. In the next part, verses 20 and following, God talks about what he will do as their God.
See, I am sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to the place I have prepared. Pay attention to him and listen to what he says. Do not rebel against him, for he will not forgive your rebellion, since my name is in him. If you listen carefully to what he says and do all that I say, I will be an enemy to your enemies, and I will oppose those who oppose you. My angel will go ahead of you and bring you into the land of Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hivites, Jebusites, and I will wipe them out.
here we are again with the angel of the Lord. Now, where did the angel of the Lord show up elsewhere?
In Exodus 3 and
the 4, burning bush.
In the burning bush. And when Moses is saying, don't send me, and God is saying, go, I'll put the words in your mouth that you need to say.
And here we have the angel of the Lord, and God's name is in him. What a fascinating thing. Because at first I was thinking, why are you quoting that other part of it? Go, put my name in. But you did that. You did it more than I realized, Cecilia. Because it's God's name that went in this angel of the Lord here. And what is the name of the Lord? Yahweh.
Yahweh.
And what is Jesus' Hebrew name? Yahweh.
Yeshua,
a form of Yahweh. This really is Jesus who is going before them and leading them through the desert to the promised land. And I find it amazing because here it says, what did it say, provoke him?
Do not provoke him. Do not rebel against him.
Yeah.
He will not forgive.
Oh, Jesus will not forgive? That's interesting. You have a verse there, I think, from Hebrews, don't you?
Yes, I do.
If you'd read that. This is chapter 12, verses 1 through 3.
Mm-hmm. And let us run with perseverance the race marked for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
We are in a race running through the wilderness. We're led by Jesus. Our eyes are fixed on him, just as God told the people back then, keep your eyes on the Lord, the angel of the Lord. Instead of I'm doing a twist on words, which I know could be confusing, but in the Hebrews verse, it said he took our scorn and shame. He doesn't have to forgive him because he took them from us. And so he is welcoming us in. Now, technically, I suppose that is forgiving. But the point is the angel of the Lord is the one who makes it possible. Keep your eyes on him. It's a message that was in the Old Testament, just as it is in the New Testament. Keep your eyes on Jesus. So, Cecilia, as we wind up today and you think about all these laws and the oppression of people and being a great neighbor and trying to do that as a Christian, next time someone brings back Meldo to your door, what are you going to do?
I'm going to thank them, as I usually try to do. And I'm going to say, hey, if there's ever anything I can do to help you, just let me know.
That's cool. Yeah. Because, they're a neighbor to you, and you can be a neighbor to them.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be a neighbor to us. Write us.
Please write us.
You can do so at?
Info.
I-N-F-O.
At not-alone.
That's N-O-T-A-L-O-N-E. It's still spelled the same, by the way, people.
.net.
That spells net. And remember,
we are not alone.
Do come back again to room 4216.
Credits. Our sincere thanks go to Terry Nord and Robert Vaughn for their interlude music.